Well, I suppose I need to answer why it is that Kara and I never met, or at least we don't recall meeting. We certainly at some point met. We grew up in the same church, and from the time we were young, we're not quite sure, we were in the same Sunday school class together, so we've been friends for as long as we can remember, and that is a great gift of God. It is also a gift to be with you here this morning. We bring you greetings from Faith Community Church in Prospect. I say we because Kara, my wife, is with me, of course, and Ruby, our one-year-old. But we also have Bryce Butler here, one of our elders, and his two daughters, McKinley and Marin. Thankful for their presence this morning. And this is just a testament to our fellowship that we have as a region of evangelical free churches. Monthly, it's a privilege to meet with the other pastors, Jack included, and to hear of the work God is doing in and around us. And it's a privilege to hear from him, the work he is doing here, and it's a privilege to have him encourage us every month and know that he does, and we're thankful for him. If you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, that's where we will be this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. As you may know, the original recipients of the letter to the Hebrews were suffering, experiencing significant persecution for their faith. And though we don't know the name of the author or the exact location where this letter was sent to, we have good evidence from within the letter to believe this letter is a sermon. Or perhaps a series of sermon, but nonetheless a sermon from a pastor to his church. The church is most likely made up of Jewish Christians living somewhere in the Roman Empire. And this detail is important because throughout the letter, this pastor is urging his congregation to hold on to their confession of Jesus Christ and not revert back to their old way of life. Listen to this exhortation from chapter 10, verses 32 and through 36 as we try and grasp the context. This isn't our text for this morning, but I'm helping us see what is going on in this church. Verse 32 of chapter 10, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." So this pastor is calling out throughout the letter to this persecuted people, let us move forward together. Don't shrink back. Don't quit. Jesus is greater. His finished work on the cross is greater than the beliefs and practices of Judaism. And then he points them in the next chapter, chapter 11, to great examples of men and women who lived by faith and finished well. This we know is the Hall of Faith, the great chapter of Hebrews 11. But even after the Hall of Faith in this chapter, we are still left wondering, how are these Christians to grasp hold of endurance? You can hear them say to their pastor, perhaps, "Yes, I see the faith of Abraham and Moses, but how will I endure? Show me how to walk, because I am tired and weary. I need a word of encouragement." Are you tired and weary this morning? Are you wondering how to grasp hold of a faith that endures to the end? Follow along in chapter 12 as I read verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Would you pray with me? God, we need your help this morning. We need your help as we desire to see you. We want to see you as we've sung about, the one who gives more grace, the one who is faithful, the one who keeps us. But Father, we confess that our week has left us perhaps weary and tired. And maybe this morning we are needing encouragement. Your word has encouragement. Father, you've given us this in your word so that we may endure. And Father, as I proclaim this word this morning, would you give me grace to do this well and faithfully and give your people ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, it is my aim this morning to encourage you to endure. To endure in this Christian life, and our text is here to help us do this. Though we are most likely not facing a temptation to fall back to Judaism, maybe the temptation for you is to shrink back into the way of life you have been saved out of. Maybe the temptation is to fall back into a sinful habit, like gossip or lust. Maybe you're not on the winning side of this struggle. The main idea of this text is that God has provided a way for you to endure to the finish line. So whether you're tired and weary this morning because you come entangled in your own sin, or because you are the victim of Adam's sin, or the sin of another man, we're going to see in this text that we find grace when we turn to Jesus. And there we can run with endurance. We can run to the one who endured at the cross and is now seated at the Father's right hand. So I want to make 3 points this morning as we seek to run the race together. Here will be the outline for the rest of our time this morning. First, to run the race, we need to listen to the witnesses. Second, to run the race with endurance, we need to lay aside all weight and sin. And third, to run the race with endurance, we need to look to Jesus. So we'll take these one phrase at a time. Let's look back again at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, as we look at the context of this passage, in the first 2 words of this verse, we see that what came before this chapter is very important going forward. In other words, if we want to do what's going on in the second half of the verse, that is to run the race with endurance, we need to figure out the first half of verse 1 and see how it's connected to chapter 11. So we'll ask 2 questions about this great cloud of witnesses. First, who are they? And second, what are they doing? These witnesses are the heroes of faith of chapter 11. They are men and women who received a promise by the word of God and believed in it. And their stories are written down so that we might hear how they lived by faith. And here is one of those stories. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham was tested by God. Something unthinkable. And I'm sure you've spent some time reflecting on this test God gave to Abraham. And how did he endure? He set his mind on the promise of God. In Romans 4, 20 and 21 says, "No unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised." And in this story, we see just a man, a frail and sinful man, who received a test from God to sacrifice his son. And we see from these passages, Abraham was commended because no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. For he considered God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead. An amazing example of faith. More than this, the author says in verse 4 of chapter 11 in Hebrews that these stories, stories like Abraham's, are still speaking. In other words, we are to look back on this chapter and the great stories of faith in the Bible and hear a great cloud of voices saying to us this morning, press on, press on. The promises I believed in, you too, believe in them. No doubt this morning, we need to hear this word. Don't miss the power of this image. The author is telling us that we are now surrounded by a great crowd of spectators. And this should conjure up in us an image of a Greco-Roman stadium with a great crowd cheering on a race. Here cheering us on is Moses and Abel and Sarah, Rahab and Abraham, countless others. We are not alone this morning. They're calling us to persevere by faith. Friends, if we cannot live by faith like these saints of old, we will not endure. For the Christian is saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Sola fide, as it became known, one of the five solas that we reviewed this morning. One of the five main theological convictions of the Reformation. As you may or may not be aware, this is the 500th anniversary of when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg, Germany. If sola fide, that is, salvation by faith alone, should remind us of anything today, it is that we are just one generation away of being deaf to a stadium full of saints who cheer us on, saying, we are saved by faith alone. We must listen. Friends, we must persevere by faith alone. Let's turn to point two. And look again at verse one. To run the race with endurance, we need to lay aside all weight and sin. The second half of verse one. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Now, some of you are relieved that we've arrived finally at a practical part of the sermon. There's something for you to do. Finally, you're thinking that this isn't just an abstract thought of listening to people who we no longer have with us, but there's something for you to do. And the rest of you are thinking, didn't you just say that we persevere by faith? Well, I said that, but I agree with practical James in James 2:26, as he says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. For this is why we need to listen to the heroes of faith. The fruit of their faith looked like something, namely obedience to the word of God. So there's work for us to do, grace-driven effort. And for the blood-bought Christian, this work is possible. As we set out to run with endurance, the race God has set before us, that is, as we strive to persevere in the Christian life, we must, as the NIV says, throw off everything that hinders us from running with endurance. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever gotten, as you stepped in mud, your shoes just clogged with mud, just to the point where it's like, oh, a slab of mud just lifted up off the ground and stuck to your foot, and you're just trying to move forward with this mud on your feet. Can you imagine running a race with such muddy shoes, muddy boots perhaps, in comparison to a nice, sleek new pair of tennis shoes? That'd be foolish. The image here that we are to hear is to throw off the weights that are holding us back from running the race and to get lighter on our feet as we run. Notice I said the goal is to go farther, not faster. We are not competing in this race against other Christians. We are striving toward the finish line, and one way we do that is to get light. So what is weighing you down? By the power of the Holy Spirit in you, throw it off. That is the command here. And these are not necessarily sinful things we are thinking about. In fact, these weights may be good things that are keeping you from obediently following the commands of our Lord. Pastor and commentator Kent Hughes says this, quote, this weight might be something that is good. Good for others, but bad for you. A place, perhaps, a habit, a pleasure, a hobby, an event, an entertainment. If this otherwise good thing pulls you down, you must strip it away. For example, there may be an apparently harmless place, a forest, a store, an apartment, a city, that because of your past sins still lures you downward. You must toss aside such a place and forget it. End quote. Hear the command. Let us lay aside. Let us lay aside. This is not an individual command, but to us, the church. How can we come alongside one another? Families, especially, marriages, especially, parents to children, and see in love and say in love, brother or sister, you're weighed down. I see you weighed down. Let me help you. Let me pray for you. Secondly, there are sins we are to lay aside, and these sins cling and entangle as we try to run. I trust the Holy Spirit has helped you identify these sins, and I trust He will continue to do the work of convicting you of sin. My encouragement to you this morning regarding the repentance of known sin is this. Jesus says in love in Matthew 5:29, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. The author of Hebrews frequently says to his congregation, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That is an urging of a pastor saying to a congregation, don't harden your heart. As we are convicted of sin, soften your heart by the grace of God. Humble yourself, I pray. Endurance runners in the grace, in the race of the Christian life, do the things their affections for their Creator. They don't do the things which stir up with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God who works in us, both to summarize point two. It is by faith and a promise that we lay aside these weights and sins as we strive forward to the finish line. The promise being that God has already given us in His grace the power to lay these things aside. Finally, in point three, to run the race with endurance, we need to look to Jesus. Let's look again at the end of verse one. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The runner already has a host of examples to look to in the stands of this Colosseum, of this stadium, where he is surrounded by examples of great faith. They are to encourage us, but there is one example that stands above all. That is the example of our Savior, Jesus. We are to look to Him, find encouragement and strength as we run. I want to recite for you a hymn by Helen Limmel, a Seattle songwriter of the early 20th century. You might recognize these words. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. She encourages us, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So what should we be seeing as we look and fix our eyes on Jesus? In the midst of suffering and hardship, for these hearers, in the midst of persecution, what are we looking to? Who are we seeing? First, we should see that Jesus is not only our ultimate example of faith, but he is the one who founded our faith and will perfect it. New Testament scholar Tom Schreiner says this about this phrase: the author of Hebrews encourages believers, reminding them that the one who was the source and originator of their faith will also complete and perfect it. What a truth to rest in. As you are tired and weary, and though you are sure that Jesus has called you, you can be just as sure that Jesus will keep you. That's what this phrase is intended to mean to us, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. What a truth to rest in. Remember Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at that day of Jesus Christ. We are to see the one who is faithful to his promises, and he promises to keep you to the end. In Luke 23, we see Jesus tell Peter, Peter, you will deny me three times. Do you remember Peter's response? No, Lord. But what does Jesus say? I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And what do we see in the rest of Luke and in Acts? We see a man who has failed, like us. We see a word by Jesus, a promise come true, and we see a man who endured. It's not Peter that we are to see. It is Jesus who has kept Peter, who prayed for him, and his word which came true. Second, in this last verse, we are to see the one who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised the shame of a watching world. What was the joy that was set before Jesus? I think that is the right question to ask. It is this joy that strengthened him in the final hours of his life to endure. If we are to endure, certainly we would want such a strength. It was for the future joy of sitting at the Father's right hand. That is the source of strength we find for Jesus in this text. Now, if the Father's right hand does not seem like the most joyful place to be, here's Psalm 16:11, which says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We must believe that that is true, though we cannot see that it is true yet. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus knew this was where he was going to go after his victorious destruction over sin and death at the cross. At his trial, just before the high priest dramatically tore his robes, asking Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus says this, Matthew 26:64. I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven. The reason why I bring this up is that Jesus was already looking to, in this moment, a future joy. Jesus knew where he was going, and he knew that joy was coming. And these two things gave him the strength to endure the cross and despise the shame of a watching world. For this is our example, and this is how we are to follow after our Lord. We are to endure suffering and endure the shame of a watching world by looking to Jesus and the joy that is coming when we will be with him. Did not he say, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me? We should not be surprised when suffering comes. We should not be surprised that this Christian life demands that we lay aside good things, that we must lay aside those things which are distracting us from seeing him. That is an effort we cannot ignore if we are to endure in the Christian life. So the final question I will ask this morning is this: what joy shall we set before us this morning? I would encourage you to set before you what we find Abraham set before himself in Hebrews 11, verse 10. For Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, we know more about this city than Abraham did, do we not? Where do we find this knowledge? We find it in the revelation that comes to John. It is this revelation that comes to John, which is given to us so that we might persevere. So I close with these verses from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. I'll give you a moment to turn there if you'd like. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. This is a picture, an image, a revealing of what is coming. And this is given to us that we might persevere. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. These verses are penned that we may persevere through the hardest of circumstances. They are not revealed so that we may unlock some mystery. They are revealed that we may press on in this life and finish the race with endurance. Friends, we must look to joy as we seek to run this Christian life? Is joy absent in your life this morning? We don't have to look far. Quite practically, we should be filled with joy up to the point this morning because the hymns we sung about are completely full of the grace and mercy of our God who keeps us. That was the theme over and over again in the hymns we sang. I hope you have a copy of that hymnal, if not stored in your heart, and that you can flip, like we did this morning, to those favorite hymns and cry out to God. Ask Him, I can't see You right now, God, but I know that Your word is true. I have these examples here saying that Your word is true. I have this word here saying that You will keep me, but I am tired and weary. We can't do this work alone. Two times in this passage, the author says, let us run, let us lay aside. This is a work for us to do together, that we may point one another to Jesus, just as the Holy Spirit does. We too, day in and day out, morning and evening, would point one another, look to Jesus. Don't look to all the things this world would have us look to. Friends, we are so distracted. Look to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, You've graciously revealed in Your word the truth that You will keep those whom You call. You call us to endure, and though we may not see tomorrow, we can see in Your word that Your mercies are new every morning. So, Lord, as we go from here and we no doubt face our flesh this afternoon, as we face this world which would distract us from You, as we face the enemy leading us down paths to destruction, oh Lord, may we hear You calling this morning. Look to My Son. See Him who endured the cross and despised the shame of a watching world. Find strength as You look to Him to run this race. Father, we hear Your word of encouragement this morning. Help us to do this by Your grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.